I actually just picked up an email about 10 minutes ago from someone asking, saying, phrase it like this: the women in my family would like to have a milchik purim suda. Is that okay? Is it permissible to have a milchik purim suda? Is there any halachic problem with it? So as Hashkacha would have it, this is the topic of today's shiur. What, in fact, do we require for the purim suda? Do you have to have bread in the first place? And do you need to have meat at the purim suda? So one thing is very clear. We definitely don't require lech mishnah. Lech mishnah is something that's dafka zecher leman, and that's therefore completely unnecessary on Purim. And therefore, you don't have to wait when you wash. You don't have to wait for everyone to wash and have one person make a motzi for everybody. We only do that on Shabbos because everyone has to be yotzi lech mishnah, and you're not yotzi lech mishnah unless the bracha that was made for you or your bracha was on lech mishnah. So that's why you got to wait for the one who's making the bracha, and you can't make your own hamotzi on a little roll or whatever. But on Purim, there's no reason to wait. There's no reason to have lech mishnah, but bread, there may be a reason to have. So let's take a look at some of the Maror Makomos and try to figure out what the halach is. The most clear formulation of what Sudas Purim needs to be is the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Megillah v'Chanukah Perek Beis Halach Tezvav, source number one, says the Rambam, Ketzad Chova Suda Zu, how does one fulfill the chiyuv of this Suda, Sudas Purim? Sheyochal Basar, Yisakin Suda Na Kfi Asher Timtzu Yado, he should eat meat and have a nice su'uda as much as he could afford, and he should drink as much wine till he gets drunk and fall asleep in his drunkenness. And then he mentions the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. Fine, this is one of the rayas, the fact that the Rambam mentions in this same sentence about that begins with Ketzad Chova Suda Zu, that he mentions Mishloach Manos, one of the rayas to the Shitas of Trumas Hadeshen, where Trumas Hadeshen holds that Mishloach Manos is dafka done to be able to provide. The nature of the mitzvah is that you're supposed to be providing somebody with their tzarchei su'uda, that you have to give somebody else something that they could use for their meal on Purim. So maybe that's so this Rambam is meduyuk like that Trumas Hadeshen, because he doesn't put the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos in a separate halacha than the mitzvah of Sudas Purim. Puts it together, so it sounds like it's part and parcel of the mitzvah Sudas to provide somebody with the necessity, with what their necessities for the Suda, with what they're going to need for the Suda. There may be nafkamina about that. You know, everyone, whenever they say Shir and Shaloch Manos, it's always the Trumas Hadeshen versus the Manos Halevi, what the purpose of Mishloach Manos is. Rav Asher Weiss pointed out, if the Manos Halevi were told that he's viewed as arguing with the Trumas Hadeshen, it would come as a pretty big surprise to the Manos Halevi, because Manos Halevi never paskened a halacha in his life. The Manos Halevi was a darshan. He was a mekubal. He was a philosopher. He never wrote Piskei Halacha. The statement of the Manos Halevi is in a sefer called Medrash Manos Halevi, which is all drush. It's drush on the Megillah. So one of the fancy pieces of drush that he says is that when Haman comes to Achashverosh and says Yesh Noam Echad Mufuzar Mufrad Bein Amim, that there is one nation that's scattered amongst the other nations. So what does that mean? Pshat is, it means that the Jewish people are all over the world, that they're not in any single location. But he darshins that no, that it's a kitrug on Klal Yisrael, that we don't get along with each other, we're mefuzar, it's a pirud levavos, that our we have social issues with each other, we don't get along with each other, and that was the kitrug on Klal Yisrael. So says Manos Halevi, so that's why things we do on Purim are there to create a sense of achdus. So you give Shalach Manos to create a sense of achdus. So a few of the Gedolei Achronim ran with this, and they said, oh, that's a machlokas with the Trumas Hadeshen, because Trumas Hadeshen says the purpose of giving Mishloach Manos is to provide Sudas Purim. Manos Halevi says, no, it's to create Achdus. And they came up with 15 different nafkaminas of how you'd be Yotze according to one, not Yotze according to the other. What if you give someone Shalach Manos the last second of the day right before Shkia? So they don't have time to have Sudas Purim with it yet. But they did see on Purim that you gave it to them, so that sense of Achdus was created. According to Manos Halevi, you Yotze. According to Trumas Hadeshen, you're not Yotze. All these other nafkaminas. It's not really a machlokas. Manos Halevi never meant to say that that the purpose is anything other, that the nature of the mitzvah, the ofen asiyas mitzvah, is anything other than to give food that someone could use for their suda. That's why when my wife and I first got married, we were makbid for the first several years, first 5 years probably at least, maybe even more, that we were married, that Shalach Manos we always gave a deli sandwich with a soda, a bag of potato chips, and a pickle. You know, like a good lunch, like what you would call a really solid lunch. You know, and there was bread, there was meat. That way, everyone could be yotze their sudas purim with the shalach manos that we gave them. They chose not to be yotze. That's fine. That's their problem. But we gave something that you could be yotze the sudas purim. But notice what the Rambam says over here. The Rambam talks about the other reason why this Rambam is famous is the other halacha that he mentions is the chayiv inish levesume halacha that you have to get drunk. And where does he mention it? Right after the words, Ketzer Chava Sudazu. How do you fulfill the mitzvah of Sudas Purim? And that's why all of the Gedolei Poskim say that there is absolutely no inyan to drink outside of the context of the Suda. The entire inyan to drink is within the... You can't deny that there is an inyan to drink. The Gemara says explicitly, it's explicit in Shulchan Aruch. There's definitely an inyan to drink. How much? Okay, is more debatable. It was in the context of Suda, yeah. But everyone agrees that it's only in the context of a Suda that there is a requirement to drink. So the Rambam has a formulation that the Ramah borrowed from when he talks about drinking. The Ramah sort of tones it down a little bit, but the Rambam says, right, we know the famous Ramah. The Ramah says, you drink a little Yosef Mehargelo, and then you take a little nap, and then you're Lo Yada Ben Baruch Mordechai. It's not exactly what the Rambam says. Rambam says you drink and get drunk until you fall asleep in your drunkenness, which makes it sound like you drink a lot, right? You fall asleep because you are drunk. Now, the truth is, you don't have to get so drunk to fall asleep. Like, you could just drinking Yosef Mehargelo could get you pretty tired. It doesn't mean that you have to try to keep yourself awake and you fall asleep. It just means that you get tired. You get tired from drinking. But the point I want to focus on is in that first line. What does he say? What elements does he identify are required for the Suda? Sheyochal basar, so he's pretty clear you need to have meat. We'll get back to that one later. Yisakin Suda nak, fiyash atim siyada, and you should have a nice meal based on what you could afford. What does that mean? What's missing from the Rambam? Let's put it that way. What's missing from the Rambam? No chiv of bread. He doesn't say anything about washing. Nothing, no hamotzi. He just says, have a nice meal and have meat. Where's the hamotzi? So the question is, does the word suda mean hamotzi? He says suda na kfir shetim ziyado. Maybe the word suuda means hamotzi. So we'll get to this in a moment. There is one unfortunate, sad chapter in Jewish history where this shaila came up. You see, I get the shaila all the time. People want to have a milchik purim suda. But I very rarely get the shiloh where someone asks, I don't want to have bread at my purim suda. I don't want to have challah. I don't want to have hamotzi at my purim suda. That very rarely comes up that someone's going to ask that shiloh. Now, it could come up in terms of people on diets or, you know, they're very limited in what they're allowed to eat. The nutritionist told them, you know, you got to have this, that, and the other thing. You're not allowed to have... So even challah and Shabbos, bekoshi, they take a bite, you know, but to have stam middle of the week on a Thursday is not something that they're willing to do or that they're eager to do. So it could come up in that context. The other context that it's come up in history is in the Shalos Teshuvos Mimamakim. You familiar with the Sefer? Shalos Teshuvos Mimamakim? Anyone ever hear of it? No. There is a Sefer Mimamakim on Chumash, but it's not Shalos Teshuvos. Shalos Teshuvos Mimamakim was a Sefer written by Rav Ephraim Ashri. Rav Ephraim Ashri was the Rav of the Kovna Ghetto. It's been translated into English. Several of the tshuvas have been translated into English because these were tshuvas that he wrote during the Holocaust. And it describes, it's an unbelievable study of the conditions that people were living in during the Holocaust and what their state of mind was while they were suffering through the terrors of what Nazi Germany was doing to the people of the Kovna Ghetto. So in the Shalos Teshuvos Mimamakim, he writes that it was Erev Purim, and people realized that they weren't going to have bread for Purim. That all they had to eat, they were starving, and all they had to eat was a certain marak shachor, a black soup. And this year, Holocaust survivors talk about some type of that something. It was apparently not so appetizing. A black soup that they would give to the workers. They called it yushnik. And he said, we had nothing else to eat. So they wanted to know, can they be mekayim sudas Purim with that? So Rav Ashri paskined that they could, and he writes that when he told them that they could, oru einehem merov simcha al shem yicholim lekayim mitzvah sudas purim. Their eyes lit up with joy that they were able to be mekayim sudas purim kimikademes dina, like they used to in the old days. Ki gavra belibam hatikva shaod yisku liros mapalasan shel rishayim zara shel amalek yimachshamam, because that gave them hope that if they're able to celebrate the downfall of one Amaleki, that they're going to be able to one day celebrate the downfall of the Amalekim that were being mishabed them at that time, that were persecuting them at that time. So that's where it came up in history. But halach l'maisa, whether it's because of such a sad, horrifying reason like Yavin Chusmi Mamakim, or just stam, a guy's on a diet, or he's not interested in washing for whatever reason, is there any requirement to have bread, or is it mutter to just skip it entirely? So one of the places where the conversation really starts to take on a life of its own is in the discussion of if you forget al hanisim in benching, do you repeat benching? So generally speaking, whenever you have to add something into benching, what's the rule? When do you repeat if you forgot it, and when do you not repeat if you forgot it? If you forget yalav yavo on yontif, do you repeat benching? So the rule is very simple. Gemara Brach says if you're chayiv to eat, then you have to repeat benching if you forget the addition into the benching. If you're not chayiv to eat, then you don't repeat benching when you forget the addition into benching. So if you forget yalav yavo on yontif, so then you have to repeat benching. If you forget yalav yavo rosh chodesh, you don't have to repeat benching. It's that simple. So it all depends whether you're chayiv to wash in the first place. So a very good way to tell whether you're chayiv to have bread is what's the halacha if you forget al anisim. Right, if the halacha is going to be that when you forget al anisim in benching, then you need to repeat benching, so it's a raya that you really have to have bread. And if the halacha is going to be that you don't have to repeat benching, then it's going to be a raya that you don't have to have bread. So that would be a very good test case. Magen Avraham, which, even though it's the most important Maror Makom in the entire packet, I forgot to put it in. Magen Avraham in Siman Tafresh Sadi Hey, Sif Katan Tes, is not sure about this. He quotes many, many Rishonim that hold that if you forget al anisim, you must repeat benching. Because lo sagi d'lo achil, you must eat. You can't not eat. You can't not wash. Magen Avraham says, but I'm not sure. I don't know. Where do we find such a chiyuv that you have to eat bread? I don't know of any such chiyuv that you have to eat bread. And therefore, I don't see why that's necessarily the case. And then he comes up with something like, it sounds like a bit of a pshara, where he says, if you ate an earlier meal already, and this is your second meal of the day, let's say after Megillah, after Shacharis and Megillah on Purim morning, you come home and you have breakfast, and now you're eating your Sudas Purim after Mincha later in the day, and you forget Al Anisim in the Sudas Purim, so then you don't have to repeat, because you already got it the first time. You already got it with your earlier meal. No one says you have to have two meals on Purim, so you already covered it with your earlier meal, even though this is really your Sudas Purim. This is the one that you're designating as your Chashva Suda, but you already ate earlier, so you would not have to repeat. But if it's your first meal, then probably you should repeat. Now, the Magen Avraham sounds like, Meikra Din, there's not really a chiyuv to have bread, but for your first meal, we're choshesh for those opinions that say you do have to eat bread, and to the extent that we'd even make you repeat benching if you forget al anisim. Now, exactly how to understand the Magen Avraham is actually machlok sachronim. Min Chaschinuch understands the Magen Avraham the way I said it, pretty much, that there is no obligation to eat pas at all, that he himself holds there's no obligation to eat bread. In fact, Min Chaschinuch, in Mitzvah Shin Yud Gimel, is talking in the context of Erev Yom HaKippur. It's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. So do you have to wash on Erev Yom Kippur, or can you just eat? So Minchas Chinuch says that pashut to Erev Yom Kippur the mitzvah lechel ain chiyuv dafka pas kimo Shabbos v'yamtiv. The lomatzinu zeh b'shum makom rak mitzvah lechel v'yotzei b'kol davar. He says pashut on Erev Yom Kippur. You don't have to eat bread. You don't have to wash. Mitzvah on Erev Yom Kippur is to eat. So eat whatever you want. And he says v'cheinu b'magen Avraham milchus Megillah gabei Purim. And that's exactly what the Magen Avraham says about Purim. There's a mitzvah to eat, no mitzvah to wash. So he understands the Magen Avraham as very pashut, arguing on all the Rishonim that the Magen Avraham quotes. He quotes a whole group of earlier Shitos, not necessarily Rishonim, maybe very early Achronim, but a whole group of earlier opinions that say that you do have to wash, and the Magen Avraham argues. However, in Nimukei Or Chaim, he's not sure that the Magen Avraham means to argue. In source number 6, he writes, Ach be'emes lo kasav shama Magen Avraham lehechleit klav. Magen Avraham is not writing this with any certainty whatsoever. Rak kasav la shemei ikra adin lo matza shechiyuv lechol pas b'purim. It's a big difference. He doesn't say that you're potter from eating bread on Purim. He says, lo matza, he didn't find anywhere that there's a chiyuv to eat bread on Purim. So when you ate a first meal and the second meal is definitely not an obligation at all, given the kvarachal sudachas bepas, okay, and sorach lachs alvarich b'chamazim sudashniya. So then you're not going to have to repeat benching the second meal. Meaning, Magen Avraham isn't sure whether you need to eat bread or not. So here's his pshara. When you're eating, when the benching is on a meal that you definitely were yotz, that was definitely you were mechuyev to do, the meal was something you were mechuyev to do, whether you were mechuyev to wash or not, but it was something that you were mechuyev to eat, then you would repeat alanisim and repeat benching if you forget alanisim. But when the meal itself was something that you weren't necessarily even chayev to do, because you already had a meal earlier in the day, so if you wanted, you could have skipped the later meal, so you weren't even mechuyev to do the second meal, then you would not repeat al hanisin when if you would not repeat benching if you forget al hanisin. That's how the Mukher Chaim understands the Magen Avraham's pshara. And the Magen Avraham is not sure; he's not sure that you're putter from pas. But what he is sure is that on the first meal you have during the day, that's definitely considered a mitzvah. Because you definitely have to have at least one meal. So that meal is definitely considered a mitzvah. So for that meal, whether you have to have pas or not, if you forget al anisim in benching, you should repeat al anisim. It's like, that's the Magen Avraham's pshara. Now the Taz also says, first meal you have of the day, if you forget al anisim, repeat benching. Second meal of the day, forget al anisim, don't repeat benching. But the Taz says with certainty, Not like the Magen Avraham, who's Mesupak, whether you do it. Taz says, you definitely have to eat bread. When do you have to eat bread? First meal of the day. After the first meal of the day, there's no requirement to eat bread. That's why, first meal of the day, you forget al anisim, you have to repeat. Magen Avraham wasn't sure whether you have to eat bread. Taz comes out with the same halacha l'maskana, that if you forget al anisim in the first meal, you have to repeat. Second meal, you don't have to repeat. Same halacha, but he gets there in an entirely different way. Magen Avraham gets there misafik, the Taz gets there b'toras vaday. What difference does it make whether you get there b'toras safik or b'toras vaday? So what if you have the following case? I saw in the Sefer Ratz Katzvi, it's a fellow from California, I think his name is Rabbi Reisman. I think I'm not even sure if he's a practicing rabbi. I think he's a balabas, but he's a phenomenal Talmud Chacham, and he writes all these beautiful svarim called Ratz Katzvi. I think he's also the person behind Hebrew Books, the website Hebrew Books. I don't know if he pays for it or whatever. I think he's a wealthy fellow, and I think that's what I heard. I could be wrong about all of this, but there's definitely a Sefer Ratz Katzvi. That I'm sure about, because that I have. And in the Sefer Ratz Katzvi, he suggests the following possible nafkamina between the Magen Avraham and the Taz. What if you do have breakfast after you come home from Megillah on Thursday morning, tomorrow morning, you have breakfast, but you don't wash. You have whatever. You have cereal, you have, whatever you have for breakfast. Right? Eat something, but you don't wash. You have a meal without washing. And then later in the day, you have Sudas Purim. And by Sudas Purim, you bench and you forget Al Anisim. Do you have to repeat? So according to the Taz, according to the Taz, with this vaday chiyuv that you have to eat bread. So in the morning you did nothing. Having cereal was worthless. So this is your sudas purim. This was an absolute chiyuv, and therefore you have to repeat benching. According to the Magen Avraham, though, he's not so sure that you have to eat bread in the first place. So what did he say? When you're eating the meal, that's vaday chiyuv sudas purim. So then, vaday chiyuv. It's vaday chiyuv to eat the meal. So then you should repeat al anisim in benching. But by the second meal, you already had a meal, so it's not vada yechiv to eat this meal at all, so don't repeat al anisim. So Magen Avraham might say, in this case, where you had cereal for breakfast, and a Danish or whatever, and now you're having sudas purim, and you forget al anisim, not to repeat benching. Why? Because it's not so clear that you were mechuyev to have this meal. Because according to Magen Avraham, he's not so sure you have to have bread in the first place. So it could be that the first meal that you ate, the breakfast with the Danish and the cereal, was your sudas purim. And therefore, there was no chiyuv to eat this meal. Mainly, you wouldn't have to repeat al anisim. So the Taz and the Magen Avraham say the same halacha, so to speak. Meaning, they say if you wash twice and you forget al anisim in the first meal, you do have to repeat benching. The second meal, you don't have to repeat benching. But since they get there in different ways, there are actually nafkaminas between the Taz and the Magen Avraham. So what designates it as a suda? I sit down and I eat. Do you have to do it with shame suda spurim?
When you want to say a suda on Rosh Chodesh, there's no chiyuv suda. You're going to eat, but it's not a suda.
I don't know if you need to do it l'shem sudas Purim. You need to have kavana to eat. You need to be intending to eat on Purim. You know it's Purim. You intend to eat. So that's the question: is the mitzvah of sudas Purim just a mitzvah not to fast? Is that one and the same? We're going to get back to that soon. Yeah. I'm not sure. I think it's somewhere in between a chiyuv and just what people do. I think there's a definite inyan, but I'm not sure. I'm not remembering.
So if you ate an earlier meal, then...
right? So maybe that's like a second. Yeah, I don't know. But even lunch, sometimes Purim Suda start as late as 4 o'clock, and you have like a 1 o'clock Purim Suda. That's 1 o'clock lunch, let's say. Don't eat lunch if you come to my Purim Suda, because my wife will be very. I don't know. She wants people to eat. So, but. Oh, probably. Yeah, that's good. Rav Yaakov Emdin in Maror Ketziah takes a very strong stance against the Magen Avraham, and he says, "What kind of business not to wash for Purim Suda?" He said, "Rav Yaakov Emdin has his style. If you're familiar with his style of writing, is he writes with a very sharp pen. He's very strong in his wording, so it's not. So he says, I don't understand. Davar zeh e'ef shel lishmo klala nias daiti. How could you listen to such a Magen Avraham that he tells you that you don't have to wash for a Purim Suda? Klala shel davar pashut v'yaduahu shekol makom shenemar su'uda ein al bepas. He says su'uda means pas. That's what the word means. It means bread. He says davar pashut, and he goes on to try to bring rayas to this. He says kivin d'chsiv yimei mishta v'simcha. So that must mean a su'uda kavua bepas. His rayas aren't really, he tells you, because come on, of course, everyone knows su'uda is pas. It's a Rashi on Chumash like this, that Rashi says, kol su'uda kruya lechem, that su'uda in a biblical sense is lechem. But again, maybe in a biblical sense, but it doesn't say, it says mishta v'simcha, so I don't know if there's a su'uda in a biblical sense. We call it su'uda's purim. Yaakov Emden says, Bereshis Rabbi has a medrash that rifta bread is sa'ada liba, it satiates the heart, so su'uda must be bread, and not the strongest rayas. The most interesting raya that I thought that you do need to eat bread is in the back of the essay in this Sefer, Ratz Katzvi. He has a tshuva that Rav Zalman Nechemi Goldberg wrote to him. You know where Rav Zalman Nechemi is? Zalman Nechemi is Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's son-in-law. He is a very, very big Talmud Chacham. He used to give a shiur every week in Keren B'Yavne. When I was there, he would come to Keren B'Yavne once a week and give a shiur. Called him the Garzin. He was a tremendous baki. Gon Rav Zalman Nechemi. He was a tremendous baki. Tremendous baki. He gives smicha to a lot of people. A lot of people get smicha from Zalman Nechemi. He's an Av Beis Din somewhere in one of the Batei Din. He's a big, big, big Talmud Chacham. And he wrote a haskama to Sefer Nasiach B'chukecha, which is a very chashva Sefer. Okay. So, that's another claim to fame. So, Zalman Nechemi Goldberg, in his tshuva, in the back of the Sefer, if you look at source number 11, it says like this. He says, okay, a lot of people say you got to eat bread. Where does it come from? So he says, I'll give you an example. The halacha is, Shulchan Aruch says, if you eat the suda at night, you're not yotzi yachiv. That halacha tells you that there must be some other din aside from just not fasting. The fact that you need a halacha to tell me that if I eat at night, I'm not yotzei mechiyuv, it must be there's some other din of su'uda other than just not fasting. How does it tell you that? If there was an issur, there is an issur to fast on Purim. There is an issur to fast on Purim. What if you eat at night and you fast all day? Did you violate that issur? Yes. How do I know that you violated that issur? Because a typical fast day, like today, for instance, starts when? 5:06 this morning. Right? I ate last night, and yet it counts as a fast when I'm not eating today. So what does that tell you? That if I eat at night and I don't eat during the day, obviously I violated the halacha because I fasted on Purim. So I need a halacha to tell me that if I do my Sudas Purim at night, I'm not yotzei. If the whole mitzvah of Sudas Purim just means don't fast, of course I'm not yotzei when I eat at night. right? Because if I fast during the day, I still fasted on Purim. So what's the halacha teaching me? So says Rav Zalman Nechemya, it must be teaching me that the mitzvah of Suda is more than just not fasting. There must be something to the mitzvah of Suda. And when you do that thing, whatever it is, whatever that requirement is of Su'udas Purim, if you do it at night, you're not Yotze Su'udas Purim. That's the halacha. But there must be a din other than not fasting. V'im Su'uda hakavana lo latzum. If Su'uda just means don't fast, imkein ma chidushim achol b'lel Purim adayin chayv l'achol b'yom. What's the great chidush that if you ate at night, you still have to eat during the day? V'chiyala al da'atenu shemutu latzum b'purim. Why, you think you're allowed to fast on Purim? Very tzom shalchol b'layla, nechshav tzom b'kol tzomos. Chutz mitishma v'yom ha-kippurim. Every other fast day when you eat at night still counts as a fast. V'ray mishnah is b'frash sheninu, the gozer tainus, v'pagu b'chanukah Purim. Harei shepashat sh'asu lotzu b'yom ha-purim b'chanukah. It's obvious in mishnah you're not allowed to fast on Chanukah and Purim. U'behechrech, so what you have to say is, she'esh din miyuchad b'purim she'chayiv su'uda. So maybe that's a raya that you have to have bread. Because what is the chiv suda if not to mean to have bread? It can't just mean to eat something. Now you could argue on that. What could you argue? How could you argue on that? You could argue that it's true. There is more to suda's purim than just not fasting. But how does that necessarily translate into bread? Maybe that translates into what else? What else might it translate into? What? Meat. Maybe it translates into meat. Maybe it translates into having kavana l'shem sudas purim as opposed to just grabbing a bite to eat. Maybe it translates into shtei manos, like by shalach manos. The Rav in Harei Kedem is a whole piece where he tries to prove that you need shtei manos for sudas purim, based on the connection to shalach manos. Maybe that's what it means. You can't just have cereal. You gotta have cereal and milk. I don't know if that counts as shtei manos, but whatever. You have to have cereal and something else. You gotta have and a Danish, whatever, something together, or a bagel, whatever. Something together with it. Well, bagel you wash on already, so. Anyway, those are the rayas that maybe you do have to eat bread. None of them are particularly compelling. However, we don't know. We have to see if there are any compelling rayas in the other way, in the other direction. Are there any compelling rayas that you don't have to eat bread? So it's a very fascinating tshuva in Rabbi Akiva Eiger. The reason it's fascinating is that if you open up Rabbi Akiva Eiger, it's the very first tshuva in all of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rabbi Akiva Eiger wrote brilliant tshuvas. The first tshuva in all of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, someone said, Maisa Shahaya, source number 12, you could read it yourself, I'm going to say it outside first. Someone said to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, we were benching on Yontif, and someone forgot to mention it, to say Yalav Yavav on benching, and they asked what to do. So we said, oh, it's Yontif, so you should repeat benching. And then Rav Tevel was there. This guy Rav Tevel, I don't know who he is. Says Rav Tevel was there. He was a shochet in the town, and he said that he remembers when he was a kid, he was by the rabbi's house. His grandfather was a rabbi or whatever. He was by the rabbi's house, and someone forgot Yalav Yavam benching, and the rabbi said, "Don't repeat Yalav Yavam. Don't repeat benching because you forgot Yalav Yavam. You don't have to repeat benching." So who's right? Is it right what it says in Shulchan Aruch that you do have to repeat? Or is Rav Tevel's recollection from when he was a kid and he remembers his grandfather saying not to repeat, is that right? That was the first tshuva in all of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. What's Rabbi Akiva Eiger's answer? Do what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Rav Tevel probably forgot. You know, like that's the whole tshuva. Rav Shachle said it's remarkable. Like you're putting out a tshuva sefer, you'd think the first tshuva would be like a knockout. His first tshuva is, probably what the Shulchan Aruch says is true and not what Rav Tevel thinks he remembers from the grandfather. But in the back of the sefer, there's a hashmata. Rabbi Akiva Eiger adds on to the tshuva. And now in the newer printings, they put it into the tshuva itself, so it's a much more impressive tshuva now. So now in the hashmata to the tshuva, Rabbi Akiva Eiger wrote, but if you were to ask me, I would say that women would not have to repeat Yalav Yavam. And maybe the Maisa Shahaya that Rav Tevel remembers was that a woman forgot Yalav Yavam. And she doesn't have to repeat Yalav Yavam. Why not? Why wouldn't a woman have to repeat Yalav Yavam? Because he says, why do we eat a Sudan Yantif? Why is there a Chiv Sudan Yantif? It's a mitzvah of Simchas Yantif, V'samachta B'chagecha. That is a mitzvah, Saseh, Shazman Grama. And women are pater from mitzvah Shazman Grama. They're pater from the mitzvah of Sudas Purim, of Sudas Yantif. They're pater from the mitzvah of Sudas Yantif. But he says, no. Simchas Yantif, women are also included. Nashim with whatever is Mesamech them, and Nashim with whatever is Mesamech them. He says, no. The reason you have to have a Suda, the reason you have to wash, is not a Din in Simchas Yantiv. The reason we meet is a Din in Simchas Yantiv, and women should have whatever makes them happy. The reason we wash, he says, is a Din in Oneg Yantiv. There's a Din of Oneg Shabbos and a Din of Oneg Yantiv. And that's why we wash. The Rambam writes this way explicitly in Hilchas Yantiv, Perek Vav Alachi Yates, that part of the mitzvah of Oneg Yantiv, where does Oneg Yantiv come from? Pasuk says that Seres Tia Lachem, that the Yantiv of Shavuot should be Lachem. Only problem is, there's another pasuk that says it should be LaHashem Elokeichem, that Atzeres Yantiv of Shavuot is supposed to be for Hashem. So the Gemara in Psachim raises the question, and Beitza, the Gemara in a couple of places, raises the question, what are you supposed to do on Shavuot? So are you supposed to do LaHashem, or are you supposed to do Lachem? Should you spend the whole day in contemplation and prayer and Talmud Torah, or should you spend the whole day in eating and sleeping? Should it be LaHashem or should it be Lachem? Normally, when you have Shnei Ksuvim HaMachishim Zezeh, when you have two psukim that contradict each other as blatantly as these two psukim do, so what do? But the Gemara deals with a very practical problem. What if there is no Kasav HaShlishi? We can't write psukim. So what if there is no third pasuk? You just have Shnei Ksuvim HaMachishim Zezeh. Now what? So there are two opinions in the Gemara. One opinion is the Torah is giving you options. When the Torah, there's Shnei Ksuvim HaMachishim, says that the Torah is giving you options. Oh, Kula Lashem, oh, Kula Lachem. Whatever your preference, however you want to spend the day. Either spend the entire day in prayer and Talmud Torah, whatever, or spend the day entirely in gluttony and whatever, you know, in eating and sleeping and everything. Options. The other sheet in the Gemara is, no, it's not options. The Torah is telling you, split. Split the day. Chetzi Lashem, Chetzi Lachem. But either way, we get this idea of Lachem, we pass in Chetzi Lashem, Chetzi Lachem, and we get this idea of doing Chetzi Lachem from a Pasuk, Atzeres Tia Lachem. That Pasuk is the mitzvah of Oneg Yantif. It's a mitzvah to enjoy Yantif. That mitzvah is a mitzvah Seishas Mangrama. True, there's a whole mitzvah of Yantif in general, of Melacha and Yantif, should be a mitzvah Seishas Mangrama, but there's a Los Asay of Yantif also, of Melacha and Yantif also. It's both an Asay, Melacha and Yantif is both an Asay and a Los Asay. So women might be included, are definitely included in the Los Asay, may also be included in the Asay, but Oneg Yantif is a separate mitzvah Asay, and that women are not included in. Memela, a woman doesn't have to wash, and if a woman doesn't have to wash, she forgets the Al Viyavo, she doesn't have to repeat benching. But he says, let's say on the first night of Pesach, she forgets the Alev Yavo. Or in Shabbos, she forgets Ritzei. Then she does have to repeat benching. Why? Because a woman is chayiv in three meals on Shabbos, just like a man is. And a woman is chayiv to eat matzah. First night of Pesach. Kol sheyesh lo bebal techol chametz, yesh lo bekomechol matzah. Anyone who's not allowed to eat chametz is a chayiv to eat matzah. Right? Now, based on this, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, our mitzvah Sudan Purim is based on a mitzvah's what? What is the nature of the mitzvah? Is it a mitzvah's oneg or a mitzvah's simcha? So Pashtus is, it's a mitzvah's yimei, mishta, and simcha. It's not mitzvah's oneg on Purim, right? It's mishta v'simcha. So maybe, and how do you fulfill simcha? We have a Gemara in Pesachim tells us how to fulfill simcha through eating. Ein simcha ela v'basar, ein simcha ela b'yayin. So there's a mitzvah of simcha, dafka with basar and yayin. Do we ever find simcha bepas? No, we eat pas at a shtut of Shabbos, at a shtut of Yantif. Either both as zech leman, that's why you need lacha mishnah, but also because there's a mitzvah of oneg. There's nothing to do with mitzvah simcha. So maybe that's an indication that you don't need to have bread at Sudas Purim. Another possible indication is the Raman Yerides in Reish Samachay talks about Sudas Shalom Zachar. And the Rama says in Yerideya, for some reason I'm not finding it right now, but whatever, it's there somewhere, I think. Yeah, it's source number 8. Od Nagu Laso Suda Umishta Belel Shabbos Shenolat Zachar Shenachras Meitzalatinok Litom Sham Vugamkin Suudas Mitzvah. He calls it a Suudas Mitzvah. And what does he describe? What do you eat at this Su'udas Mitzvah? What does Rama say? Lit Om Sham. What does Ti'ima mean? Have a few jelly beans or whatever. Whatever you eat at a Shalom Zach, whatever candies are on the table. know, or what do they call those things? The gross. Chickpeas. Right, I don't like chickpeas. So have some chickpeas. You taste a little something. That's a shalom zachar. And yet it's called su'udas mitzvah. So mehechi taste that perm should be any different. Why shouldn't it be able to be called a su'udas perm without bread? Not only that, we have a mitzvah to have three su'udas on Shabbos. What do you have to have for the third su'udah? It's a su'udah, something su'udah, right? What do you have to have for the third su'udah? Shulchan Aruch Paskins, source number 9, Reish Tzadi Aleph Sif Hei, Tzarech La'asosa B'pas. You have to have bread. But V'yesh Omrim, Sheyach La'asosa B'kol Ma'achal Ha'asoi Mi'ech V'chavesh Mi'ne Dagan. Some say, nah, whatever one of the Chavesh Mi'ne Dagan you want to use, that's good too. V'yesh Omrim, Sheyach La'asosa B'dvarim Ma'aftim Ma'pas, B'em Ma'pas, K'bas V'dagan. You could have even meat or fish, which is the main part of a meal. Of a little bit of peros, but not fruit. V'yesh Omrim, that feel a bit peros. And some say, yeah, fruit's good too. They have a million different shittos. By the way, there's one other shitta the Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote. What's the one other shitta the Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote that people like to say? A yotzei, the Divrei Torah, exactly. Where does that shitta come up? That's in the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Pesach. Magen Avraham quotes that in Hilchos Pesach. Because in Hilchos Pesach, they deal with the problem of how to have Shalosh Shudas in Erev Pesach that falls on Shabbos. How are you going to manage to pull off having Shalosh Shudas when Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos? You can't eat matzah and you can't eat chametz. So what are you supposed to do in the afternoon of Erev Pesach when it's Shabbos? So Magen Avraham says maybe it could just be Yotzei Divrei Torah. But that's not even quoted in Shulchan Aruch as one of the deos of what you can actually be Yotzei Shalosh Shudas with. So the Aruch HaShulchan points out, Magen Avraham didn't mean to say that you're Yotzei Shalosh Shudas with Divrei Torah. It's a melitza, it's an expression. What he's trying to say is, you obviously don't need to have Shalosh Shudas that Shabbos because it's impossible. And therefore, learn Torah instead. But not that you're actually yotzei the mitzvah. But either way, what do you see from this halacha in Shulchan Aruch? That in order to be yotzei the mitzvah of the third meal on Shabbos, it's suda, you don't necessarily have to have bread. And even the first sheet that says you do have to have bread, it likely is only because it's a zeichel leman. That three meals on Shabbos are a zeichel leman. Not because part of the nature of the definition of suda is to have bread. It's not necessarily the case at all. There may be other nafkaminas, whether su'uda necessarily means bread or not. There's a requirement for a bechor to fast on Erev Pesach. But if he participates in a su'udas mitzvah, he doesn't have to fast. So a guy comes to your shul and makes a siyum and gives out whatever, Pesach cookies. I don't know, whatever they give out at the siyum, or Dunkin' Donuts. The last chance for Dunkin' Donuts before Pesach. Because if you don't go 8 days without Dunkin' Donuts, you could die. So, last chance. So, Yotzei Su'udas Mitzvah, is that okay? Is that enough of a heter to eat? Maybe tell it whether Su'uda necessarily means pass. The Ramah has such a statement that if in Hilchos Milah, in Reish Samachay, that if someone invites you to a Bris Milah and you don't go, that it's Ki'ilu Yir Menudah L'Shamayim. It's like being put in Chayrim by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, what if you go and you don't eat Hamotzi? You don't participate in the suda, you don't wash. So you just have a little something else to eat, a little mezonos. Did you not participate in the suda? Are you still menudah l'shamayim? May depend on this issue. Ramon Yerdeh Paskins, an avel is not allowed to participate in the suda's mitzvah. And an avel cannot participate in the suda's mitzvah. What if he goes to a bris and he doesn't wash? Is that okay now? Would that come out to be a kula? Or do you say no? There are other people washing there, so his being there, his presence at a suda's mitzvah is the problem. Now, what's the nekudas hamachlokas? What are they really arguing about? So the way we've been explaining it is they're arguing about what the definition of the word suda means. We know there's a mitzvah of suda's purim. Does suda necessarily mean that you have to have bread? It does not necessarily mean that you have to have bread. However, in the Sefer Ratz Kitzvi, he suggests a different possible explanation of what they're arguing about. He says, maybe this whole machlokas, Magen Avraham and the Taz, Magen Avraham and the Maror Katziah, whether you need bread or not, is about something else entirely. Rosh Shturmbach writes in Modim Uzmanim that the nature of the requirement to have bread at your Suda's Purim is part of the mitzvah of Simcha. Aye, says Rosh Shturmbach, what do you mean? We never find that Yotzei Simcha with bread. Simcha is bibasar. So if you have a beef jerky, Yotzei the mitzvah of Simcha? He says, no. Basar is only meaningful, you see, having basar without bread is like trying to build the top floors without having the foundation. Bread is the foundation of every meal. Does bread itself give you simcha? No. But without the bread, the basar is not properly mesameach either. The basar is the ikr simcha, but it only has the ability, it's like the hechsher simcha is the bread. The only way that the basar is going to give you the simcha is if it comes in the context of a proper seuda. Having a little beef jerky doesn't do it. But in the context of a proper seuda, when you have basar, so then then the basar is able to give it to be mesameach you. So it turns out that the bread is a chelek of the mitzvah simcha. It's not that it's the mesameach, but it's the hechsher to the mesameach. So maybe they're arguing about that issue. When we say ein simcha b'basar, does that mean basar alone? Or does it mean basar together with bread? So maybe that's the nukudas of machlokas. And there might be enough kamina between these two understandings of the machlokas. If you look in source number 15, in the Sefer Ratz Kitzvi, he writes, "V'nirakei nafkamina bein shtei ha'gdaros simchiv pas besuda purim noveh midin suuda shebepas or midin simcha." This issue of whether the fact that you have bread at your suda's purim is a din in suuda or a din in simcha, he is so tzveiko shalamach nachaim chel gimel or chaim simenun gimel. Isuda's purim talia bekazayis bekusavis klal. Is there a shear? Do you need to have a shear of bread bechtei achilas pras? So if it's a din in suuda, it's a din that bread is so aid a person. So it's only when you do a shir b'kdei achilas pras that you're eating it properly, that you're actually eating bread in the way that you're supposed to eat bread. But if it's a din in simcha, that absent bread, meat doesn't have the ability to be mesameach. But when you have bread, and it's in the context of bread that meat has the ability to be mesameach, so maybe you don't need a shir all at one time. You have a little bite of bread and have a lot of meat, a little another bite of bread later on. It doesn't have to be a kazayis b'chtei achilas pras of bread, because it's not the bread that's the su'uda. The bread is just the hechitimtza to make the basar the su'uda, to make the basar the besameach. So maybe that would be enough gemina between these two understandings. If you have to go to class now, I don't want to hold you back. If anyone wants to stick around and discuss meat till mincha for the next 15 minutes, we can talk about meat at su'uda's purim. If anyone has, does anyone will stick around? Yeah. No, man. Oh, yeah. That's wrong.
Now you're not supposed to make the bracha on a TLC dime unless you're eating
right.
That's where it conveys
it. Right. No, that's wrong.
So
yeah.
So let's say someone's
they definitely
that.
Can't bench.
Right. But let's say someone's doing exactly that. They're having just a little bit of bread, just the thing of it, but they're not really having it. Have like a little bit here and a little bit there, but it's not going to add up.
No, whenever you have bread, you should have a proper piece of bread. You should have a proper amount. I mean, you're being samich that you're eating other things that fill up your stomach. So in that little, because it's you're being koveya suda and everything else. So that's what we're being samich on. But it's always appropriate to have the proper amount of bread. Have a nice piece of chal. So what about meat? Do you have to eat meat? So what are the issues over here? So the two tzadei asavik are as follows. Let's it's a machlokes rishon whether you need to eat meat on yantif, whether there's a chiv. Simcha b'basar b'zman hazeh, because the Gemara says ein simcha b'basar is talking about the basar karbanos. B'zman hazeh, the Gemara says achshav she'ein beis hamikdash kaim ein simcha b'yayin. The Gemara says in 10th paragraph Pesachim. Now that we don't have beis hamikdash, the simcha is b'yayin, not with basar. When beis hamikdash was around, it was simcha b'basar. So some let's assume like those rishonim that hold that even b'zman hazeh basar is the mesameach. That ein simcha b'basar, right? You need to eat meat on yantif. So on the one hand, you could argue, okay, good, so on Purim there's a mitzvah of simcha, so you should have to eat meat on Purim as well. On the flip side, you could argue that no. Why is there a din of simchas yantiv dafka with basar? Because when the Beis HaMikdash was around, there were karbanos. So as a carry forward from the din of the basar karbanos, we still have basar bizman hazeh as part of our mitzvah simcha. But on Purim, there was no karbanos. We were chutz laretz when Purim happened. There were no karbanos. So there's no carry forward of simcha b'basar, and you'd only have simcha b'yayin. It wouldn't be b'basar. It would only be ein simcha b'yayin. It wouldn't be b'basar. So those are the two tzadei asafik. Should you say it's the same like any other yantif where you have basar, or should you say no other yom tovim be'ikar have a korban? So the Magen Avraham raised the suffix, and Tavri Sadi Vav, Sifkan Taz Vav. I think this Magen Avraham I actually remembered to put on the sheet. I hope. In source number 16, Magen Avraham says, Sarachin, Lamiye Mutter Belaila Bebasar Vyayin, Valoein Chiv Klal. He's talking about the Shulchan Aruch says that an Onain is allowed to eat Purim Suda with Basar and Yayin, even though an Onain is normally not allowed to eat Basar Vyayin, but not at night. So he says, "Ein chiyuv klal lechol b'layla." There's no chiyuv to eat at night at all. Where's the part that I want? He says, "V'imkein leka asei klal afilu b'yom ve'ef shalom et purim shayni dichsiv be'simcha." Vein simcha el b'basar. Maybe dafka on Purim there's a din of simcha and you gotta have basar. We call makom kasha. The yom tov nami simcha k'sim. Vein chiv lechol basar. Rak b'zman shemisim shkayim. He says, you know, the chiv basar on Purim is on other yom tovim is only when the basar mikdash is around. Lachay nearly belayla al kol panim lo yochol basar. Da belavach yeshnim noim. He says, anyway, it's probably best not to eat basar in the nighttime because people will get the wrong impression. They're going to think that you're yotzei suda's purim at night if you eat basar at night. It's probably better not to eat basar tonight. Wait for tomorrow to eat basar. Magen Avraham is mesupik, though, about whether there's even a requirement to eat basar at suda's purim. The obvious issue over here is that we saw Rambam before. The Rambam defined suda's purim. What did the Rambam say? He only said two things that need to be consumed at suda's purim. Wine and meat. So Ram said he identified basar. He didn't even identify bread, but he identified basar. So it's very hard to understand why everyone missed out on this Rambam. Another raya that you have to eat meat is that the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Tzafri Sadivav Siv Zayin Yesh Mi Sha'omer Sha'onin Mutar B'Basar V'Yayin. That some say an onin is allowed to eat basar v'yayin on Purim. D'Loasi Yaseh D'Yach D'Avelus V'Dach Yaseh D'Rab D'Araisel L'Smach B'Purim. That the mitzvah of Simcha and Purim outweighs the Avelus, which is only on the individual. The mitzvah of Simcha and Purim is on the old tzibur. So what do you see from there? If we're allowing an Onin to do it, it must be that it's a Chiyuv. If we weren't a Chiyuv, we wouldn't allow an Onin, yeah? An Onin is someone who lost a relative and hasn't yet buried him. So the halacha is an Onin is not allowed to eat Pasar V'Yayin. So if we're allowing an Onin to eat Pasar V'Yayin, so it must be that it's a Chiyuv to eat Pasar V'Yayin. That's a pretty stark raya. In the Sefer Kovetz Halachos, which is a new Sefer that they put out of Shmuel Kamenetsky's Piskei Halacha, he rejects that raya. If you look in source number 18, Umori v'Rabbi Shlita Dacha, the Kavanas Hamechaber, the Asi Yaseid Ram the Simchas Purim, the Dachi Yaseid the Yachid, Umikivan the Mutal Alechiyuv L'Smoach Im Ritzono L'Smoach B'Basa Rashi. He says no, the fact that an Onei is allowed to have meat for a Simchas Purim doesn't mean that there's a chiyuv to eat meat. Just means there's a chiyuv to be misameach. And if this onin says, well, the way I get simcha is by eating meat, well, then he's allowed to eat meat because he has a mitzvah to be misameach. But it doesn't mean that there's a chiyuv to eat meat. The chiyuv is to be besimcha. So that's why he's allowed to eat meat, because that's the way, personally, maybe for this onin, that's what gives him the simcha. Mishabrura, in Tav Kuf Chaf Tes, Sivkot Nir Tes, writes, Mishu Misagef Atzmo in Pnei Atshuva B'chol Yimos Hashana Shalom Lechol Basar Shalom Shalos Yayin. Let's say you have someone who's always doing tshuva and afflicts himself, he never eats meat or drinks wine ever. That's his minhag. I have a guy in my community called me up once. I got a phone call like 11:30 at night during the summertime, and he says, what's that Makubal's name? The Sfardi Makubal in Israel is very, that's like half of Israel. What? He's a big one. He wrote like a whole bunch of, he wrote a whole bunch of books on, like in English, on, what? No. Ah. Got his name. It's going to drive me crazy. Alright, whatever. There is a famous Makubal. There's a big Talmud Chacham also. Like he's known as a very, very... He's like one of the real legit ones. What? No, something else. Ah, I don't know. It's driving me crazy. But anyway, I got a call like 11:30 at night once. Someone said, I have this Makubal here. Me and my friends are taking him out on our boat now. You want to come with us? So So I was like, what? He's like, yeah, he's here for a fundraising trip or something, and we're going out on the boat, and we're taking him out on the boat. So I'm like, I'm really tired. I'm not going out on the boat with the mukubal now. I'm not, you know, so I had to prepare the daf for tomorrow. But my brother-in-law was there, so my brother-in-law learns in Kol in Eretz Yisrael, and he happened to have been visiting. So I said, you'll enjoy this, go. And he said, really? And he's so excited, so he went. So I asked him the next day how it was. He said it was so weird because, like, these were like a bunch of Five Towns Jews who were barbecuing at 3 in the morning on this boat. And, like, they're like, hey, Rabbi, want a hot dog? And he's like, I haven't eaten meat in 40 years. So, oh, want some fries? That was a follow-up question. So there are people like this that don't eat meat, don't drink wine, not just Stam because they're vegetarians. That's they live on a different madrega. So Mishnah Berurah says, if you're such a person, you still should eat meat at Sudas Purim. So some say, well, wait a second, isn't that a raya? You're chayv to eat meat. So Mishnah Berurah must have understood that you're chayv to eat meat. So he says, no, you have to look carefully at the Mishnah Berurah. He says, b'shabbasos v'yom tovim v'chanukah purim chayv lechol v'lishtos. That those restrictions, you shouldn't feel those restrictions on these days of the year. Chanukah, there's definitely no mitzvah suda. There's no requirement to eat basar at all in Chanukah. And Mishnah Berurah mentions Chanukah. What all he's saying is that in those days of the year, you shouldn't feel restricted by the sigufim. That you should let loose a little bit, you should feel a little bit more, you know, comfortable. But not that there's a chiv to eat basar. Are there any rites that you don't have to eat basar, Sudas Purim? So there's a taz that sounds like you could eat whatever you want. Taz writes, the ikra tam di yesh chiv su'udu bo su'yom d'chsivi mei mishnah v'simcha v'lo sagi d'lo achav. The Taz we were referring to before with the pas. He just says, lo sagi d'lo achal. You need to eat something. Makes it sound like it's not dafka chiyuv to eat meat. Magen Avraham, when he talks about an onain eating meat at night, also sounds like he says that there's no requirement to eat meat at all. That it's not going to be necessary to eat meat at all. If you look in the Sefer Kovetz Halachos on that Magen Avraham, he says the fact that that you would ever be matir and onein to eat meat at night. I'm sorry. Don't bring me a raya. What he's trying to say is like this: don't bring me a raya from the fact that an onein is allowed to eat meat on Purim, that there must be a chiyuv to eat meat. Because an onin is even allowed to eat meat at the night of Purim. And if an onin is allowed to eat meat at night of Purim, we know there's definitely no chiv to eat meat at night. There are people there are many poskim that are makvid dafka not to eat meat at night. So obviously it's not a din in the chiv to eat meat at the night of Purim. But I wanted to close with, I thought it was an interesting idea. I saw in the Sefer Retz Katzvi, he suggested that maybe the chiv to eat meat on Purim is greater than the chiv to eat meat on Yantif. It's a big chiddush, no? Right? Where can you get this idea that it's a greater chiyuv to eat meat on Purim? So he has a fascinating idea that the Emek Bracha quotes from his Rebbe, from the Brisker Rav. The Emek Bracha writes from the Brisker Rav, this is source number 24, Mor v'Rabbi hagon av bezin de brisk shlita shamati sha'amar hadde nishtana simchas Purim mikol shar smachos shal mo'adim. Why is it Simchas Purim expresses itself so differently than every other Simcha? Every other Simcha is so controlled. Simchas Purim, there's so much emphasis on drinking and wine and being inebriated. Why is it that Simchas Purim is different than every other Simcha? So says the Brisker Rav. Every other Yantiv, the mitzvah is to be mesameach with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Elamai, how do we bring ourselves to that state of feeling the Simcha where we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is through Basar, through Yayin. But the Iker is, it's to be ma'orer, a feeling of Simcha that's going to bring us to a Simcha with HaKadosh Baruch. However, when it comes to the Simcha of Purim, Kivan Dechsev Mishta V'Simcha, it turns out that just Simcha for Simcha's sake, partying for party's sake, is the mitzvah. Feeling your own sense of Simcha is the mitzvah. So it may turn out that when it comes to other Yom Tovim, the busser is a hechitimtza, but it's not the goal. The goal is Simcha Makadosh Baruch Hu. Whereas when it comes to Purim, the busser is the goal. It is the mitzvah. It's the ikra mitzvah. And therefore, it could turn out that there's a greater mitzvah of busser and Purim than there is on when it's not Purim. So I would recommend, if anyone asks the shayla, someone with this person just asked me today, can the women in the house want to have a milchik Purim suda? Can we do that? I would recommend not doing that. I would recommend, certainly, based on the poskim, it seems that there's a strong reason to say, certainly from the Rambam himself, strong reason to say the dafka have basar. Someone else told me this morning that they were once invited to a Purim suda and they found out that it was going to be a milchik Purim suda. So this guy told me his father, before he went to the Purim suda, had a pastrami sandwich, because he wanted to be Yotzei the mitzvah properly. Then he got there and he didn't eat at the Suda, and the person was all upset that he wasn't eating at the Suda. How could you not eat the Suda? He said, I'm sorry, I'm fleishiks. You know, because I just assumed the Purim Suda would be fleishiks. But okay, you should be a mensch about it, to eat the salad or whatever. But I would think that it's appropriate to have a... I shouldn't even say that. But when you're at home, you do whatever your parents do. When you're at my house, you do whatever I do. But when you're when you have your own home and you get to make the call, or your wife gets to make the call, maybe you should that's something to keep in mind. That pas and basa l'chora should be, if not required, at least very strongly recommended for sudas purim.